From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever spooky, ever forever not cape wearing for once, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count. Can't hear you, Count.
Can't right there, Bob. How's it going?
Excellent. There is some reverb coming through that.
Yeah, those are those new mics that pick up everything there. But doing good here on Bob After Dark. Another week of Bob After Dark here on B. Having a good time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And alongside of me to my left is my ever wonderful, ever the occultist of Australia. Word on the street is that he once actually ate a dingo's baby. My wonderful co-host, the Australian occultist, Anthony DeFabio. Oh, hey there, Anthony.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Oi, how you going, mate?
Oi, how are you?
I'm awesome. Awesome. Had a great time this weekend.
Yes, we have to get everybody's weekend updates. I think we're all going to have some overlap.
We definitely
Indeed.
Yeah, I think we're all going to have some overlap. So let's start with Count Panic's weekend update. Count Panic.
Well, you know, I am lacking the cape here, as you could tell, with good reason, because no, I didn't leave it at the hotel room, but I did leave it back home where I forgot to bring it. We were all together at C2E2 in the McCormick Place. Great time was had by all. I know I had fun there, Bob. I think Anthony had a good time. I think you had a really good time. I know you want to talk about it, so I kind of
okay. So you're gonna
I'm gonna wait for you guys to talk about it because I don't want to kill too much of the vibe. And
that's fine.
If I say everything that happened, it's pretty much the same thing that happened to you guys too.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Go.
Okay.
By all means.
So actually, you go because I got to share. So tell me what you did this weekend.
What did I do?
What did you do?
We went to C2E2.
You were there too.
You know what? I was there.
I saw you there.
You know what? That was fun, wasn't it?
That was a very good time. It's the first time I actually went inside the event hall. So that was pretty cool. Impressive stuff.
A lot of people, wasn't there?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot.
And you were out in sunlight.
You know what? I put a lot
SPF, of... SPF 666, right?
SPF 666.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very, very nice.
The vampires out there. But I got them, and that was a really good time.
And then the panel?
Yeah. For people that don't know what the stuff is all about, right? This is a Comic-Con. You go there, and you dress up if you want to dress up. You celebrate what you want to celebrate. Comics, entertainment, much more, things to buy, people to see. It's a huge event there.
Huge.
Okay, so my weekend...
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I had to get my share
Bob,
in.
Did you share it to the Bob After Dark page?
No, so you guys...
Wow.
You could do that while I'm talking
okay,
about
I'll
this.
Try it. Excellent.
Of little
or
funny.
You could share it?
I have.
Okay.
I believe.
Weekend update.
Why don't you share it, Tom?
Okay, weekend update. So we were at C2E2 this weekend, Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, and we did some really cool stuff. Me and Count Panic were there for 3 days. You popped in for two.
Mm-hmm.
Our first day was kind of just mellowed out and relaxed. Second day, we had our Bob After Dark and Ghostly Podcast meetup.
Yes.
We drew a decent little crowd. We had a good time. We did some paranormal trivia.
Yes.
And then we did... We wandered around a little bit. It was a lot of fun. And then Sunday, I got to do a really, really cool thing. I actually co-hosted a live episode that we recorded at Podcast Central at C2E2. I co-hosted my favorite paranormal podcast, Ghostly's podcast. Oh, everybody that watches Bob After Dark should know about Ghostly. We intertwine quite a bit. They're kind of like our sister show in a lot of ways.
Yes, they are.
Hosted by Pat and Rebecca. They're such an amazing team.
They're fantastic.
They're great. So I got to co-host an episode. We talked about the Couch Memorial and Linkin Park. Little did you know that there was 10,000 bodies buried out
there. Cannot believe that.
But I'm not going to spoil too much about that because you guys got to listen to their episode. I think that comes out. Pat might chime into the chat and let me know when that episode's going to be coming out. So if you guys get a chance to check that episode out, do so. I'll be there. I'll be on it. It's a lot of fun. Even Jack Blue from Chicago's Paranormal Hauntings, he joined in on the podcast. Steve, our lovely co-host.
Yes, and Jack's a gentleman.
Jack
isn't
is a gentleman. We hung out with Jack and Tony at C2E2.
And they were doing a...
The tour.
Of the...
Congress. Theater. Yeah. So we have to do...
We have to find out how that went.
We're going to be setting up with them soon. We're going to get Jack and Tony on the show. And then Sunday, we did our friends from the Visiting Comic Book.
Yes.
And Ursula, the queen of Chicago paranormal scene. They hosted a panel.
What a fantastic
Scott Larson. It slipped my mind. Yep. I had to look through my notes. Sorry, Scott. They co-hosted a Chicago, like local Chicago yep. areas. They spotlighted a couple of cool spots yeah. in the city. They talked about their experiences. Ursula's been paranormal investigating since.
How many books does she have up?
Over 10, I think.
Wow.
So Ursula's the queen. Haunting Chicago. That was like her big one. That was her first one, 95.
Yep.
And she runs the biggest paranormal company in Chicago, does all the tours. Listening to her talk, because I've listened to her on other shows. She was on Coast to Coast, I know. So she's done a lot of yeah. stuff. But seeing her live in more personal, where she's talking about really her experiences, nice. It's otherworldly, really, to explain it to a T. So we really want to thank Scott, because Scott at the end of the at the panel called us up and Ghostly Podcast, and we got to pitch our shows real quick to the
audience.
And
that was really nice.
And that's really a hats off moment to Absolutely. Scott and Ursula for having us up there.
We almost got stage fright up there, I think. It was
Pat chimed house. In, and by the way, Pat chimed in and said Wednesday Ghostly's new episode featuring me will be on there. So check awesome. Out Ghostly's episode. And he said, "Wait, sister? Well, we got Rebecca there. We're family. We are yeah. podcast. We're a podcast family." Us and Ghostly.
It's okay, Pat. It's yeah, all right.
We love Ghostly.
And the highlight of that panel, I would have to say, and I think the Count would probably agree with me, was that lovely couple that came in.
They found me specifically.
Oh, yes.
I there have was, no idea why they yes. found you.
This girl comes up to me.
Or they came to you.
This girl comes up to me and she says, "You're Bob from Bob After Dark." And I'm like, and I turn around and I'm like, "Stop." Because in her hand is a doll. And she says, "One of your fans told me to come find you at the con to show you this thing." And I got to hold it. There's photos Dolls. Of it because, of course, as always, it's always got to be a doll.
It has to be a doll. And what a beautiful doll. Mm. Both Kale and myself held that doll.
Yeah.
And
I'm good.
It was good. Yeah. And we're having them come on the show so they can...
Do you
have the doll?
Do you have their contact information?
Yeah, we'll get it.
Oh, boy.
We'll get it.
You know, so
we'll
people watching the video now.
You know, the...
Could see that doll right there.
There's the doll. Oh, look at that. Beautiful.
Oh, there's
so
a great
Do you guys want to hear what Kale and I picked up on this doll?
Absolutely.
We both had this feeling of being almost like bobbing in water. So we're kind of like floating around in water. And we both picked up Louisiana, Baton Rouge to be exact. So something about Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and there was this stain on this doll. That
and there's he just put up a photo with us with Ursula.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's a great photo.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's really cool. Glad you and Kale got to come out and we got to enjoy the panel together. That was Kale
and Kyle.
KS Paranormal, not
yes.
KSP Paranormal.
Yes, my sister. Yeah, my sister.
KS Paranormal. Now, if this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark or listening to us on podcast,
who are you talking to me?
Well, our fans.
Oh,
the Children of the Night. How Bob After Dark works is we talk about some creepy, weird, spooky news stories of the week.
Yes.
Anthony may or may not come prepared for it.
Ye of little faith in me.
You know, Pat actually used that line, I think, on the podcast. He used that line on me at least once.
Did you, Pat?
We cover spooky, weird news stories of the week, and then we cover lore of the week.
Yes.
Which we're going into my favorite month of the year when it comes to the show. We're kicking off Faelor Month.
Before we start,
yes.
I have to give a couple of shout-outs.
Yes, but real quick,
tell me
for
real
our
quick.
Podcast fans,
please.
If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. We get a chance to... Cinco. Do you know how to say 5 in Polish?
Ooh. That's good.
John, if you can call in, I know John's listening. John, if you can call in and let us know how to say, or even if my dad's listening, call in and let us know how you say five in Polish. Leave us a 5-star review.
Five. Not four.
You could leave us a four. It's fine. Just don't. You could leave us a 5-star review. Leave a nice comment. We read all the good comments, and then we share the good comments live on the show.
I read every single one, folks.
So we get a chance to read all of our Apple Podcast fans. So we appreciate all of you on Podcast Land, Facebook Land, and I always forget that we're radio stars too. It's always strange to say I'm a radio personality because I think we have the Facebook Live, we're on TV, and we also have the podcast. That's primarily what I advertise these days, is the podcast.
Yes.
But I can't forget about our Northwest Indiana and the South Side of Chicago fans.
Yes.
And Radio Land. Panic, I can't hear you.
You got the TuneIn app there too.
All of our fans that listen to on the radio.
Australia?
We do have fans in Australia. They're not listening on the radio.
We don't have radios in Australia.
No. Sand. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everybody that's supported us this weekend at C2E2. We had the fans that came out to see me perform with Ghostly Podcast. It was a very good convention, and I got some really cool news. I just found out today before I came on the show, and it slipped my mind. I have officially been booked for Anime Detour in Minneapolis.
Well, when were you going to share this with the camera?
Right now, because I I just got the email right before I got here. So
that's
Friday,
fantastic, man.
First Friday of April, I'll be in Minneapolis, 11 p.m. I have no details yet. I will share them all post-show. Now, I'm just breaking that news to you guys now because...
Well, thanks very much. I'm glad that you shared that with us.
I was going to completely forget to share in general.
You think, being the producer, I would know these things.
You know what?
Sorry, guys. I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I apologize.
That's okay.
Thank you.
That's a nice shirt you got.
Oh, thank you. Everybody's giving... So I have a vest that the Queen of the Night bought me for Christmas. And people are like, Anthony, is that you? You look less Australian.
That has a tail.
No, but we, you know what? Ooh. We match.
We do
brothers.
Match.
We're brothers. Yeah, we are. We absolutely. Do.
And we also have to give a shout out to Wisconsin.
Yes.
And. I have to give a shout out to a couple of colleagues of mine, to Letty and Nunzia, who are watching. I know Letty's a fan of the show, and I think Nunzia's just tuned in now, so I just want to give you a shout out. G'day, guys. Thank you for watching.
Excellent.
Yes.
James actually chimed into the chat and said, Pike, P-I-E. You are, every time you cut in, that is horrible. Good job. That's the worst.
And this was the last time Bob After Dark was on.
My dad's on the line. Oh, hey there, Dad. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
You don't know your Polish, Sonek?
I do not.
What's the matter with you?
Okay, Dad, how
Jeden, dwa, trzy, cztery, pięć.
Pięć?
Pięć.
Pięć?
Pięć?
Pięć. Yes, pięć. Like pinch with a Pienc.
Okay.
Yeah.
So leave us a Pienc review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks, Dad. We appreciate that.
Okay. Dobra noc.
Nasz pod. Hey, thanks, Dad. That's very sweet.
He knew his stuff right there.
That's
excellent.
Fantastic.
That was good Polish.
Love
right?
Languages are a very beautiful thing to know.
Absolutely. It's also I don't think my dad's ever called in on the show before.
I think he has.
You know what?
It's on record. I believe he has.
I trust the count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive right into the spooky news of the week.
Sure. Do you want me to start?
Oh!
Oh, no. See? Never have faith in me, mate. Well, this one here kind of goes into something that I don't really talk about, but it's going into sci-fi. Ooh. Can we have some background? What would a sci-fi kind of noise be? Do a sci-fi noise for us, will you?
Beep, boop, bop. I'm a robot.
Fantastic. That's great.
Thank you.
Okay. So what I read as I was driving here today and came up with a wonderful story, warp drive could be happening. Is this one of your stories?
No, it's not.
Fantastic. Could be happening in our lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. The idea of going and traveling to distant planets and stars has been a thing that we could see and we've seen on sci-fi movies, but it's never really happened, right? A spacecraft... just moves about the speed of light, it would take them like 4 years to reach the next closest star and over 2 million years to reach the nearest galaxy. Scientists have been looking at sci-fi and things that have come up in sci-fi movies and have come up with a theoretical implementation known as the Alcubierre warp drive. You may ask, what is that?
What is that?
It would be. It would work by basically stretching the fabric of space-time in a wave, contracting the space that's in front of the ship traveling and expanding the space behind. The theory is that the ship would then ride the wave bubble and far exceed the speed of light. This is where it goes. The ship, in turn, is not moving through space and time itself, but in fact moving space and time itself. Huh?
I like that.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine.
That would be fantastic. Where would you go? Where would you want to go?
It's not important where I want to go. People don't want to hear about the Bob's take.
Yeah, they do.
They want to hear about the hashtag panics take.
Where would I go? Well, that's a good question indeed. I've never been to Poland, you know?
Well, I mean, you were talking about galaxies.
Yeah,
he just wants to go to Poland. You know, I'm surprised your answer wasn't the Mars Cheese Castle.
Well, the Mars Cheese Castle is a good option, too. But it doesn't have to be the galaxies. It could be anywhere, right? I could take
But
if I'm bending, if I'm going to bend time
in space,
why not go to Poland?
If he wants to go to Poland, let him go to Poland.
Okay, that's fair
enough.
You know what? Pluto.
Pluto?
Okay.
Because it's not really a planet anymore.
It's back to being a planet, I think.
Is it?
It might be.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Where would I go?
Yeah.
I would go beyond our galaxy.
Australia.
You're still waiting on those checks.
I'm still waiting on those checks from the government. NASA.
Oh, God. Where would I go? As much as I find it fascinating to be able to look down and see the Earth from space, I don't know. My answer is going to be very boring.
What?
I want to go to Saturn, and I want to go to Saturn for a very simple reason. There's
sandworms?
No, but that's fantastic for that reference. I appreciate that. The surface of Saturn, they've caught live recordings of what Saturn would actually sound like, and it's horrifying.
Yeah, it's
I'd like to
cool.
just hear that in person and see if it drives me mad.
Yeah.
Test my abilities.
What if, you know how they reference the moon to be like cheese and things like
sure.
that? What if they had a planet, and just hypothetically speaking right now?
Kringle. Made out of Kringle. Wisconsin's pretty much its own. Wisconsin, as much as we love you guys, we really do. Wisconsin is our second home.
Love Wisconsin.
We love Wisconsin. You just like the milk.
I love the milk.
You love the milk. Wisconsin's kind of like its own planet.
I am going to be grazing with the cows in the summer because I just love it so much.
But yeah, Wisconsin's kind of its own planet. But Saturn, just dig deep, and it's the crust is made out of almond Kringle.
Hmm. And you'd come back, and you'd have crumbs all over you, and I'd know where you've been. What's your story?
Okay, my first story is coming to us from Antarctica.
Oh.
Where it is currently the summertime going on there. And unfortunately, due to the global warming, our glaciers and whatnot are melting at a very alarming rate, apparently, because it's hitting record high temperatures. And there is a blood red algae that is being currently seen by scientists. And there's a giant chunk of what they're calling blood snow off of the Ukraine's Verdensky research base.
Blood snow. That's kind of cool.
It's actually horrifying because this algae isn't supposed to be seen by sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's causing the pigments of the sun mm-hmm. to make it look red. And it's horrifying the people that are researching it. And they're basically describing it as the Earth is bleeding.
Wow.
And I don't like to get political on the show ever.
Right.
But this global warming thing is a legitimate threat.
It's very scary and it's very sad.
And the fact, and I'll share the photos on the Bob After Dark page. I promise I'll start sharing these articles and stuff.
Did you guys hear that?
I say that.
Everybody heard that, right?
But the idea for this is it's legitimately shocking to witness and look at it.
Right.
So,
I'm very curious to see these pics.
Hashtag panic stake.
Well,
panic. Panic. Reverb. We got a phone call. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Hey there, Bob. Anthony, oi.
Oi.
Oi. What's
G'day,
up, John?
Mate. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, you know what? I forgot to, Anthony, last week, tell you to welcome back. But, you know, in my heart, you never left.
Oh, thank you, John. That's very sweet of you.
So,
very,
you know,
very sweet of you.
If I, you know, attempted like I overlooked you there, but I did.
No, never think that. Thank you.
But, hey, Bob.
Yes.
You know, your dad, when we played baseball at Kosciuszko Park, he always beat me. So he beat me again tonight, you know, and that's okay. I'll let him have the one tonight.
But, how was his pronunciation, John?
It was excellent. It's Pienge. So he said it. And matter of fact, he counted, you know, as you heard, from 1 to 5. So right on the button, Mr. Anderson. I'm proud of you.
Well, thanks.
And we hung out on the corners of Sardis there, you know.
Man, you just made my dad probably really excited. Thanks for calling in,
oh,
John.
Oh, yeah. But hey, one more thing.
Oh, hit me.
You guys are talking about the Galaxy.
Yes. Where would you go, John?
I just got a question.
Yes.
You know, they say that the stars, if one star would fall, it would cover the whole universe.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. I don't know if there's any truth in that. I guess scientists said that. So I'm curious if that's true, then how come you see so many up there?
So I'm going to answer this to the basic of my knowledge of things. I would like to preface by saying most of my scientific background is in pseudosciences, cryptozoology, paranormal studies. But I do know a little bit about quantum physics, and I know a bit about stars and stuff like that. Basic. Because I know someone's going to chime in and be like, no, you're wrong. Please. I'm just going to be your basic Bill Nye hanging out in the classroom for the moment explaining it. When you were looking at the stars in the sky, the stars are already gone. They're destroyed. But because the light takes so much time to travel to us, what we're seeing is millions of years past.
We're seeing history.
Yeah. So whenever you look up at the night sky, it's all history. Those stars are long gone, or at least I guess that's what the theory is currently, that they're gone. But we're still seeing them.
That's very interesting. I never heard of something like that. You know, I mean, seriously, you know.
But you know what, John? You're a star. Yeah. You're a star in my eye.
Oh,
you'll always
hey,
will.
Hey, man, you know what? We're gonna have to go out and
anytime.
Am I invited?
Yes, you are.
Oh yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Well, the whole Bob After Dark team will have to get together, and your dad also.
Excellent.
You know, bring your dad and mom with you.
Sounds good.
We'll find a place and get some
Warsaw in.
Warsaw in and get some veggie food or whatever.
Excellent. Thanks for calling in, John.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, guys.
All right, we got another caller on the line. Who do we have?
Pat.
Pat?
Oh.
Hey.
Pat from Ghostly Podcast. It's a celebrity on the line.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, g'day, Pat.
Pat, how are you?
I'm really good. I just wanted to call and tell you that your science was a little bit off on the Antarctica thing.
Okay.
You know, it's caused from a microclimate.
Oh.
A microclimate.
Yes, microclimate, you know. It gets a little warmer, a little colder, you know. That's all it takes.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I think I've heard you talk about microclimates before.
Yeah, I'm kind of an expert.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just want to thank you, Bob, for coming on the show. You did an awesome job, and I couldn't have asked for a better third or fourth co-host, whichever seat you were in at that time. That was really awesome.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for calling in, Pat. And I just want to say you were a gracious host.
As always.
I try, but, you know, microclimates and all.
Oh, jeez. All right, Pat, you have a good one.
All right, you too, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Panic, I don't know what's going on. I'm just waving the signal. You almost made me go deaf there. All right, so let's dive right into the second news story of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you have your second news story.
I do.
Or you actually have more than one.
Mate, this one actually comes from our friend Jacob Foreman.
Oh!
Yes, he sent me this not so long ago. And this is kind of cool. This happens once every 900 years. Today, right?
Yes.
Today is a palindrome. The date... Did you know that? The date forward is the same as the date backwards. Or, in other words, the planets today, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Fitness are all in alignment. So this won't happen for another 900 years. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, right?
I would say so.
Right?
I'm glad to hear you took a pellage from as our news story. It's there's probably some energy to it, though, right?
There's definitely
and
some energy.
In numerology, they talk about palindromes a lot.
Correct. And there's also in correspondence with astrology as well, especially with the planets being aligned as they are. And, yeah, there's definitely some cool energy out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my second and last story.
Oh, excellent. I got two more stories to go. Hashtag panics take on, panics working on some sound issues we have going on right now. If you guys see me moving my flailing my arms, it's because I'm slowly going deaf. Can't hear you at all, Panic. So we're just dealing with some technical difficulties.
That's okay.
We'll get hashtag Bob's take.
Hashtag Bob's take.
Okay, so I would argue, not argue, I guess I'd agree. There's no, there's probably some energy to a palindrome. We were talking about numerology a little bit ago.
The date today
is
the same as the date backwards.
Yes.
Spooky.
Excellent.
Very cool.
All right, my next story is... We can hear you tapping.
Hey, can you hear me tapping?
Absolutely. I don't feel like I'm losing my hearing.
Sorry to blow you out there before we got these cool mics.
He's got another ear.
But I got one good ear.
I heard Anthony say the date backwards is the same date forwards.
Yes.
Well, that's amazing. That happens once in a lifetime usually.
Yeah, 900 years, mate. So what, you're on your 700th?
Yeah, so when's the next time around?
You'll probably be, what, about 800, 900?
I'll be ready for that, yeah.
Dude, what was the last palindrome you're like?
You know what? There was a lot of, not too much going on. You know, back then there was no fun whatsoever. People just kind of moped around and whatnot. So it's nice to be around this time when there's a lot of this technology out there. People actually have a good time with it.
Good.
Excellent. All right. So let's go into my second story.
Yes.
Of a young lady who was in North Carolina. She lives there. Uh-huh. And she's supposedly being hunted by our old friend, Bigfoot.
Really?
Yep. She said that he's been coming around her house since last March. And she's seen him. She's seen multiple of them. She said they scream to communicate with one another. And she's got actual casings of their footprints out in her side and backyards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And is there any, so they were communicating back and forth with each other?
Supposedly they're screaming at each other.
What
this
kind of
is,
a noise would they?
I don't know.
You don't know how to
I
make
I don't,
a
but she, can so the it's noise? The kind of, I can't. So I can't, it's really, really like strange, I guess, to hear that because people hear about the screaming Bigfoots, but they never heard them scream back and forth to each other.
Communication?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this is some breaking news as far as the
Sasquatch.
And then James chimes in the chat and says about, why do I picture the screaming goat? Count Panic, we're hearing some echoes when you turn on your mic. We don't know what it was from. It sounds like some outside audio.
I think it's from those.
It's perfect now.
I think it's from the rings of Saturn, maybe, you know.
Perfect.
It possibly from. We're picking up some.
Sandworms.
We're picking up some galaxy waves there. But Bigfoots, yeah. You know, they're all around the dunes and whatnot. So you just feel like, yeah, it's common.
All right, my last news story comes from... Oh, wait, what did you think of the Bigfoot sightings in North Carolina? Hashtag Panics.
Well, it's amazing. You know, I never personally saw Bigfoot. I know he's out there or she's out there. Is there a family? Like, does Bigfoot have a family?
They do. The dad is called Harry.
Harry, oh.
And they have a last name called Henderson.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, they live up in Washington State, should I say.
So that's the family there?
That's the whole family's there.
All right, that's the core family. Yep. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
According to one of our colleagues from Freak of the Week.
Yeah.
I think his name's Nick, Dr. Higney. I'm not sure. Some people say they're the same person. Some say they don't. I'm not sure. But they say they have this story about a Sisquatch, S-I-S.
A Sisquatch?
A Sisquatch.
What is that?
He said there's a female Sasquatch called a Sisquatch.
Oh. Well, you'd hope so.
I mean, Bigfoots have to reproduce, right?
They have to.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Hence, the Hendersons.
Oh, my God. It's definitely a thing. All right, so my third story comes to us from Washington. The state.
Ah.
We always get like really strange like stories from the Pacific Northwest these days.
Yes.
It seems to be where a lot of our stuff comes from. But anyway, this story comes to us from James, by the way. He shared this, James from Peoria.
Oh, nice.
He was saying a 20-year-old robbed a grave of a 19th-century corpse, was caught with him using the bones, and for not-so-magical reasons. You know, you rob a grave, you might take some bones for your altar or something.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, that's fair. Why are you looking into the cameras like that? This gentleman took the bones and licked them and drank the broth, licked it and made broth from its bone marrow.
You know, you pay a pretty penny in France for that.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
I think you just made that up.
No. Marrow? Oh, yeah, you pay a pretty penny for it.
From what I read from the article, it supposedly tastes really delicious. I'm a vegetarian. Facts. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably not about to eat bone marrow anytime soon. But this guy got caught. Now he's going to jail, not only for desecrating a grave, but for, like, cannibalism, which I mm-hmm. guess is still illegal in the year 2020. Hashtag panic steak.
Well, I am not a vegetarian, but I do not condone cannibalism, really. I mean,
he's a vampire. Sanguinarian, maybe.
I bite, but I don't eat. That's all I do.
He drinks.
I just bite and drink. That's all.
Energy.
Yeah.
It's like having a 5 or a Gatorade.
It's like Sunny Delight.
Electrolytes.
Sunny
exactly.
Delight.
Yeah, you'll be okay, Penny.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Those are the news stories of the week.
I'm excited.
All right. You ready?
The Fae.
Okay. So let's talk about the month of March. Now, the month of March is very special for a couple reasons. Mostly people know it for drinking on St. Patrick's Day, or the phrase, everybody is Irish on St. Patrick's Day. But for a group of people, that whole month is very, very sacred for a lot of reasons.
It certainly is.
Dating back thousands of years. And it's sacred to people that are both on the Catholic side of things.
Right.
And on the pagan side of things. There was lots of both being celebrated there. Now, we're not going to go into the whole St. Patrick drove out the snakes from
right.
this. Because, you know, symbolic of certain things that I don't want to upset our witchy community about. But what I do want to talk about are the stories that come from Ireland and the Greater Isles.
The British Isles, yes.
I want to talk about the Fae.
Yes.
So March is Faelor Month on Bob After Dark. This is where we talk about the things that go bump in the night across the pond.
Yes.
And they're part of the ancestry for
they
you.
They are part so of the ancestry
so
for
is,
me.
So this is kind of like taking you back home a little bit.
It really is. It's a journey.
Before we talk about our specific talk about with the Fae. But I wanted to ask you, did you guys have Fae lore in Australia? Because you guys,
absolutely.
Again, that's from the ancestry.
Absolutely.
Did you guys talk about Fae lore back in Australia? Did you have the fairy rings and stuff?
Yes, absolutely. And for our viewers that don't really know, what is a Fae? What is that, you know? Maybe we should explain.
Have you ever seen the movie? It's a Don Bluth film called Thumbelina.
Mm-hmm.
That is the basic idea of what a fae is.
Right.
It is a fairy.
Right.
But there's different kinds. Just how we have different cryptids, or just like how we have different ghosts. Japan, they have the yokai, which they have different levels of them. The fae aren't all just the tiny little things with... Yeah, Tinkerbell.
Like fae, the way I explain it to people that don't, fae are like almost like elementals, okay? They're a force of nature with both a physical and a spiritual presence that is in nature. They live in trees, they live in streams, they live in rocks, they live in the earth. That's kind of how I represent, because I kind of put the fae with the elementals.
Yes.
So
they're very similar.
Very, very similar.
And we talked last year about a couple different things. Yes.
Chime in. My cuz from Aussie said, yes, the Min Min Lights.
Tell me what the Min Min Lights are.
Basically, it's the Fae lore in Australia.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yep. So we can go into that. Yep.
And the Fae is not necessarily just an Irish thing or a Celtic thing, Celtic, if you'd like, but that's where it all kind of originates from.
I mean, you've got Sweden. I mean, you've got the North is huge in Fae lore.
But one of the most popular fave spots is Ireland. So during the month of March, because of St. Patrick's Day and because we're kind of tapping into our inner Celtic,
yes,
I like to discuss fae lore during this month. Last year, we talked about the leprechaun. We talked about the puka. We talked about the banshee. This month, we're going to be kicking it off with something a little horrifying. You see, so the fae, you think about things like Tinkerbell, Thumbelina,
right,
or, you know, those tiny little things you leave out some cream for in a bowl and they bring, right, you some good luck, or people that build fairy gardens or fae gardens.
Like myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You now, like those are, did those you are, like my fairy garden?
I love your fairy garden.
Thank you.
It's great. Now, but then there's the dark side, because again, like everything, yeah, else, there's two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
And we learned last year from the leprechauns that they are not the kindest entities in the world to bump into.
Yeah, sometimes they're little mischievous buggers, but yeah.
I want to tell you guys a little story. All right, hear me out. You're on vacation to the Emerald Isles. You're there to enjoy the finer things. A pint of Guinness. Sponsor us. It's Guinness.
Guinness.
Guinness. Or maybe you want to see ancient, untouched lands. Or maybe you just want to hunt down a certain leprechaun that may or may not have gotten lost from Mobile, Alabama. This is the land of the fae, after all. Legend goes that if you enter things like a fairy circle, you're supposed to be given good luck, or the worst luck you could possibly ever imagine. Things like leaving out a bowl of cream and you get some sort of leprechaun come visit you. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's look at those family movie renditions of those creatures. Pretty winged and friend of families. Well, if you guys remember from last year's Fae Lore Month, these things are far from normal and friendly. They can be, sure, but even the leprechaun can be scary. The fae are entities that follow their own laws and rules. They come from a plane all of their own. We learn to take care of our things that go bump in the night with their own versions of spiritual warfare, or in our hunter friends like Dr. Ben Vanerson with bullets. These, nah, you don't fight fae with a normal gun or anything like that. I highly dare you to go and try to sage a puka. They may laugh at you and take you for a ride of your life. The fae, because these things are, I like to study about the fae because they legitimately terrify me at times. Imagine being me, right? And you learn all of these great things and you research things that go bump in the night. And, you know, you prep yourself for things that may go bump in the night, cryptids. You prep yourself for different fighting circumstances. Now, imagine I put you in a place where you have no idea what you're up against. And you're standing toe-to-toe with something where every bit of research you've ever gone across is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. You stand no chance against this thing using your traditional methods. Again, you pull out your smudge stick. You think you're going to whisk these things away or throw salt. You try to do a salt barrier around yourself. And then the next thing you know, you're whisked away to be tortured and eaten in a place maybe called the Green. Well, since last year, I kept diving into the bits and to try to find the scariest bits of fae lore to try to scare you guys a little bit more. Tonight, my darling children of the night, we kick off Fae Lore Month with a story of the Dulagang or the Dulaman.
Ola Dulahan.
The Dulahan. There's three different pronunciations,
yes,
of it. Again, we were talking, I, you know, when I go to bed at night, this is a legitimate story. I, at Queen of the Night's house, I actually sleep with an iron crowbar because of fae things. Fae do not, as I was telling my little anecdote there, they don't follow our laws.
Mm-mm.
You don't sage them away. You can't bless them away. You call in a shaman, they're probably going to laugh at you. So the bits that we know about fae lore are actually taken very serious even to this day by people. Certain folk like to line their houses with iron nails in order to stop them from coming in. Newborn babies are, they say that you're supposed to leave a little bowl of cream out to keep the fae from coming and taking your baby away.
That's right.
In the movie Labyrinth, maybe you've seen it.
Yeah.
Kind of derives from fae lore.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Jared and I were hanging out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a little bit of a waltz together. But anyway, that's a different story.
What do you know about the What do you know about the fairy realm, Anthony? You ever visited?
Sure. Sure. Really? Every couple of Saturdays. No, I mean, it's locked in history. There's so much history on Fae and the fairyland. And like I said, it's not just confined to Ireland, the British Isles.
Right.
I mean, all the way up to, I mean, you've got in Northern Europe, there's mounds, fairy mounds. I mean, there's a ton of history on them all the way down to Australia as well. So there's, you know, they can be mischievous, but that's where you have to kind of pick and choose your battles and make sure that you appease them somehow. And like you said, some people do the iron, some people do the milk, and this and that, or the cream. So, yeah. But they're not all Tinkerbell.
Yeah, and also think. Keep in mind, gnomes and fairies are not the same thing. In
absolutely
fact,
not.
Eternal war going on there, but that's absolutely a story not. For another day.
Yep.
I have found what could possibly be the most terrifying bit of Faelor.
Tell
the
me.
The Dullahan.
The Dullahan,
the
yes.
Dullahan is depicted as a headless rider. It might sound familiar as the story goes on. We'll yes. talk about that in a bit. A headless rider, usually on a black horse, who carries their own head in their arm. Usually, the Dullahan is male, but some are depicted as female. Some stories claim that the Dullahan is the embodiment of the Celtic god Crum Dubha.
Mm-hmm. The sun god. Go on.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Am I jumping the gun?
Excellent. The mouth is usually in a hideous grin that touches both sides of its head. Its eyes are constantly moving about, and they are told they're able to see across countrysides, even in darkness. The flesh of the head has the same consistency of moldy cheese. It is said that they carry around a human spine used as a whip and ride in a wagon made out of human body parts. When one of these things stop moving, it is said that a human will drop immediately dead in their tracks. There is no way to bar the road against the Dullahan. All locks and gates open to them as they approach, and they do not appreciate being watched. When they do their bidding, and you catch them doing it, they will throw a basin of blood on your face, or whip one of your eyeballs with their spinal whip. It's also said that those people that may be thrown with the blood or the whip is set to be their next victim.
Yes.
This creature also has the ability of limited speech. Its disembodied head is permitted to speak just once on each journey it undertakes, and then it has only the ability to call the name of the persons whose death they herald. A Dullahan will stop at the home of a dying person and scream their name for the soul to come outside. These creatures differ from banshees because they do not haunt a family, rather for anyone whose bell tolls. The Dullahan is basically, in essence, the Fae Grim Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot less subtle. When I think of the Grim Reaper, or when I think of death, I think of a dude in black robes, maybe a skull underneath. I like to think faceless. And carrying a scythe. This dude, nah. Bone whip, body parts make up his wagon. And worst of all, even his horse has abilities. Able to control the weather, causing thunder and lightning from its eyes.
Yeah, and its supernatural powers are of sight. That is, as it holds its head up high, it can see for vast distances, allowing him to spy on the house of that dying person, no matter where they are in the land.
Did you want to talk a little bit about the sun god and the...
Well, no one knows for certain the origins of the Dullahan, but it's thought that he is the embodiment of the Celtic fertility god Crum Dubha. Okay? Crum Dubha was worshipped by the ancient king of Ireland, Tigermas. Each year, it is said that, you know, King Tigermas sacrificed humans to Crum Dubha, which is the usual method of decapitation. So in order to appease the sun god of fertility, he would have to sacrifice on the night of the sun god. You know, the worship of the Crum Dubha ended in the 6th century when Christianity came to Ireland. the legend states that often people were born from the worship of the old gods, which is very true.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's when Kromdom took physical form to be the Dullahan. The Dullahan was death itself. But not only did the physical form die, the Dullahan captured your soul. This gave the appearance of that Grim Reaper kind of a look. But going back to Kromdom, the embodiment of the Dullahan, Kromdom originated in Ethiopia, his name meaning the dark stooped one. It is said that his cults and his followers were introduced by the early settlers of Ireland coming from Africa via Spain. Also, his feast day is between July 28th and August 1st.
Thank you.
Did you like that?
I love that.
But the origins of the Fae, right? Because there's so many speculations on the origins of the Fae or Fairy. Folklorists and people that study them have depicted the Fae as the unworthy dead. So I'm kind of just going a little bit going on into the Fae. The children of Eve, a kind of demon, a subspecies of an older race of humans, and sometimes are depicted as fallen angels. A Christian tenet said that fairies were a class of demoted angels. As the story describes, they are a group of that revolted as God ordered the gates shut in heaven. Those that were left behind in the gates remained angels. Those that fell to hell became demons. And those caught in between this realm became the Fae or Fairy.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Good job.
Once in a while. I'll do all right.
So, as like most episodes where I talk about things that are threatening.
Yes.
I always like to talk about how you're going to defend yourself. How can you fight the Dullahan? Well, don't bust out your sage.
Nope.
No Palo Santo here.
No Palo Santo would work.
No Palo Santo. You could throw some salt, it may stop and count, but these things are on a mission.
Yes. There is a way to kind of...
You can. The one thing that it hates is gold.
Yes.
No one knows why, but the gold itself can stop the horse rider dead in its tracks, no pun intended, and make it the horse scream, and the horse rider may walk around it or leave.
Right.
It is said that
for
man...
For only a little bit of time.
It is said that a man of pure heart with a sword cast of gold can stab the Dullahan right through its what was supposed to be the heart and can strike it dead in its path.
Right.
But nobody of the purest of heart. Plus, I'm assuming a all gold sword is probably not high on somebody's shopping list.
No. C2E2, they had a couple of gold swords.
I was looking into them, yeah.
Were you looking to hunt the Dullahan, Count Panic?
Vampires and Dullahans go back way, way for a long time. So.
But isn't it little known fact. Kind of amazing when you look at all these creatures that we speak about, and then there's always some type of precious metal that is a deterrent, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got werewolves, silver.
Yes.
Right? Vampires.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, you've got things like the Fae, that you have iron, gold, you know, to really trace the pure essence of why these things are repelled against these precious metals is quite amazing. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to throw that in.
# panic stake on the duel on.
Terrifying there, Bob. You know what? I remember when Fae characters used to be fun-loving and wholesome like Tinkerbell. Now, every time, you know, I used to like leprechauns until I heard about leprechauns. So, Dullahan. So all I need is some gold, right?
You need some gold and a pure heart.
I could get like a gold chain.
You can. The pimped out one
not
that
tough,
you wear.
So these creatures not tough to beat, I would say, because usually somebody has somebody. Right?
Panic. If you know, usually it's me or Anthony that are stepping up to go one-on-one against the beasties. You're volunteering on
this
one?
Well, all you need is gold and a pure of heart. I think it's not like you're fighting Bigfoot out there.
True.
I'd rather fight Bigfoot.
Really?
How would you feel
Yeah.
if a skeleton guy in a boned out chariot is coming at you with a spinal cord to come whip you in your eyeball.
Yeah. I'm just, be a fun Saturday night.
I'm just saying, if I'm faster than them, I have a gold chain out there. I'll get them. All I need is one good crack.
He also has said that the Dullahan comes from the Ansel fairy courts. These courts are fairy because there is actually subspecies
of
fairy, and they call them courts. They are not obviously of a friendly nature, but of a darker nature, appearing only in the fall of night, terrifying the inhabitants of Ireland. So, kind of going, and I'm sure with more episodes that we talk about, we can kind of elaborate more onto the different kinds of courts of fairies.
Absolutely.
And the inhabitants. So,
however, I did want to talk about an American counterpart.
From Mobile, Alabama?
No.
Oh, okay. Something else.
A man by the name of Ichabod Crane.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Might have done battle with a Dullahan.
Yes.
Maybe you guys are familiar with the story, and I'm not going to go too much into it because the story that I'm talking about is going to be an episode in and of itself. Well, I really want to, but it's hard to do the Dullahan and not talk about the case of the Headless Horseman.
Yes. Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow. And you can go to Sleepy Hollow now, and they still do the riding. And
yes.
And look, even if you take some time out and you go to Disney World, and you go during, and I look, this is legit. You go to Disney World during Mickey's not so scary Halloween, right? They start the parade off with this Headless Horseman, and there's millions of people at Disney World watching this parade. Dead silence falls over the crowd as this black steed.
Fantastic.
Gallops down the main stretch
right.
of Disney World, right? And it wasn't until I started really studying about the Fae that I'm like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. This legend
comes from Ireland.
Totally comes from Ireland.
Absolutely.
Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod Crane.
Yep.
He was fighting a Dullahan.
Certainly was.
A black steed with a man with his head.
Right.
With the Headless Horseman carried his head next to him, although the story goes it was a pumpkin.
Right, but the only difference is in the Sleepy Hollow version of with Ichabod Crane is that the backstory of the horseman that he was a German soldier that
right.
was killed, which
but,
Dullahan was a fae. Go on.
But what I'm saying is the similarities are uncanny.
Absolutely.
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 The other bit of something I wanted to talk about and the similarity between the Dullahan and something that we talk about in biblical source is the horse, one of the four horsemen, death.
Four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Comes riding in on a black horse.
Yes.
And however, he might not be headless, he is the bringer of death.
Right.
So there's something about the skeleton riding a horse that's really like symbolic between now and then and forever. Mm. But the Dullahan might be one of the first and might be one of the most terrifying because despite me thoroughly enjoying the story of Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow, nowhere near as terrifying as the Dullahan.
No.
Because Headless Horseman will throw a head at you. This dude's going to roll up on you with a whip made out of a spine. He's going to whip you in the eyes.
And throw blood on you.
It's horrifying. Yeah. Man, Panicure's like, I can take him.
Listen, if you have a gold chain, you could take this creature. So,
well, Panic's getting a little bit hungry because I said he's going to throw a bucket of blood on him.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm feeling feisty without my cape. Maybe my cape is holding me back all these times. But I'm just throwing out theories there, Bob and Anthony. If you have some gold, your chances are pretty good here.
He's got a point.
Okay. Tell you what, Panic. We're going to go to Ireland.
All right.
We're going to Ireland.
Let's do it.
And we're going to go hunt down the Dullahan.
I'll take it on.
And we'll film it. It'll be great. Panic versus the Dullahan.
Mike can film it, right?
Yeah, he's back here.
We have one of our WJOB associates, Mike, hanging out in the back.
He's learning podcasting back here.
I'm impressed with you because even this story a bit scared me.
I'm not saying this is it's a terrifying creature, but the way you say you could beat it, I think it's doable. I really do.
Goat.
Yeah.
Goat chain. Panic's going to be at Jared's tomorrow. sourcing out the gold.
I'll go to Albert's.
Albert's. Yeah.
See you at Albert's. See you at Albert's.
Yeah, you're. Is this gold chain for, you know, your lady friend? No. Oh, it's for you? I guess.
But you know what would be a bummer? If it wasn't real gold.
Panic's going up. Here comes this thing riding a wagon. It's swinging its whip, and Panic looks at it, and its head it's carrying. Its eyes are moving all over the place, and it's got this big old grin. Panic wraps his hand in his gold chain, goes for a swing, and his hand just, like, goes through it.
Wouldn't it be – that would be great advertisement for a jewelry store, though, right? If you want to defeat the Dullahan.
You need to buy our gold.
You need to buy our gold.
Yeah, buy our gold.
That's what I was saying. You can imagine Panic going to the jeweler tomorrow.
I would have one person next to me. One thing next to me.
What's that?
The Mobile Alabama Leprechaun. All the gold you want.
Yeah. Oh, man, under the tree. But, yeah, no, I could just imagine that. And them dads saying, for a girl, no. For yourself, yeah, I guess. I'm wrapping it around my hand.
I'm here to fight a Dullahan.
I'm here to fight the Dullahan. So that
the phone's ringing. Do you want to take
a
live?
Let's take the call, of course. Caller, you're on the air. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's me, Jack.
Hey,
hey Jack,
how are you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good,
doing
mate.
Good.
I just want to, speaking of head of the policeman, but, you know, we have one in Chicago.
I had no idea.
Really?
This is legit. Do you know this story,
no,
Anthony? I want to hear it. Jack, tell us the story. I've never knew this one.
So I live in Pilsen, right? So it's just south of Pilsen on 49th and Loomis. People have seen a headless horseman. And the story is that during the Pullman riots, so according to legend, the ghost is the specter of a cavalryman that was killed on July 7th of 1894 during one of the many bloody riots that occurred during the Pullman strike when workers were protesting that they were getting low wages. And then the government sent in the cavalry, and there was battles taking place. Interestingly, even though a lot of people did die, there was no report of anybody getting decapitated until a month after the riots, when a worker had his head decapitated by the nearby train, because this happened in the train yards. So, but we don't know why there is a specter of a headless horseman, but sure enough, on 49th and Loomis in Chicago, there's a headless horseman.
Did not know that.
I'm not even going to lie to you, Jack. I consider myself a pretty paranormal historian, and I try to know as much as I possibly can about a lot of places. I never knew about the Headless Horseman Rider of Chicago. That
sure,
is
yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I could send you links later on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jack,
absolutely.
Get on and write. Yeah,
we'd
love to post that. And is there a specific place that he haunts, like, in general? Like, is there, a locale other than just the main streets? Because if there is one ghost in Chicago next that I want to go hunting for, I've been doing Mary for a while. I'm going after the Headless Horseman. So where can you find this?
I would be careful because it is a high-crime neighborhood. I've been there.
That's all right. Bob will fit in. We'll just leave Bob there.
Very interestingly, it's located right at the intersection of there's a bridge and there's a tunnel underneath. So it's very ominous and spooky.
Perfect.
Wow.
That's you know what we should do? We should leave Bob under the bridge and we'll go park the Mystery Inc. mobile down the road.
The Bob After Dark mobile.
The Bob After
the
Dark.
Mystery Inc. I think the Mystery Machine's been taken. I think that's copyright infringement.
All right. And hey, we'll have the surveillance on you, so you'd be watched at all times.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll just leave you there.
That's probably one of the most, because you don't think like horse ghost in Chicago.
No,
you think
not
like
at all.
Mobsters and you think of Mary.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
This is now standing as the most fascinating ghost story in Chicago. I really appreciate
thank you
for
calling
sharing
for that,
Jack.
Absolutely.
Of course. No problem.
Cheers,
wow,
man.
Thank you. Did you know about that, Panic?
I did not know that at all.
You didn't know that one, did you?
No, I did not know.
I'm going hunting for the Headless Horseman of Chicago.
That sounds
under the bridge.
Now that sounds like a bad idea.
Nah,
it'll be okay.
But, So even now, the Dullahan even might be coming to Chicago.
What if the Dullahan is everywhere?
If you think, if you buy into, and I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the physical embodiment of death looks like that. I mean, you even have a wonderful tattoo of her yourself. There's a lot of reasons why.
Wait, a tattoo? Yeah.
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 Santa Morte.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's lots of reasons why the physical embodiment of death looks like that.
Yes.
But you can't argue with thousand-year-old like traditions of the Dullahan.
No.
And
every story starts from somewhere
or something.
Something that happens.
So maybe the physical embodiment of death is the Dullahan. And the Fey lore, that's the Fey creature that comes and takes your soul.
Could very well be. Absolutely.
Make a pact right now. Whoever goes first, make sure you come back and tell us. Whoever goes first out of three of us.
Well, we can't look at Panic. He's immortal.
I can't go first.
So we'll come back and we'll be like, oh, this guy came up on a chariot made of bones.
What would you do if I came back on a chariot full of bones?
I wouldn't surprise me. I figure that's just par for the course.
I would come back on a chariot full of cheese curds.
Thanks, Panic.
You're welcome.
All right.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
very good. I'm very excited about this month, and that was a great kickoff to Fey Lore.
Yes, absolutely. The Dullahan and
the
origins of a Headless Horseman story. Do you have any closing words for the audience tonight?
No, just thank you for everybody. Thanks for everybody that came out at C2E2, the fan meetup, and everybody else. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.
Calm Panic.
Yeah, it was kind of the same as Anthony. If people that are listening, maybe new from C2E2, welcome aboard, and had a great time, and can't wait for the rest of this month, Bob.
Absolutely. And of course, folks, I just want to thank you guys for watching another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you on Bob After Dark Unplugged, where we talk about something.
The Mobu Alabama Leprechaun.
Maybe.
Hint, hint.
Maybe. But you guys got to watch it on the Facebook Live exclusive show. Remember, folks, not all who wander are lost, and as always, as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.